To chat about that, among many other things, including Raptors and Golden State tonight, we're joined by Yahoo Sports NBA insider. Here is Jake Fisher. Jake, what do you read into Fred VanVleet switching up agents and joining Clutch?
I'm trying to figure out what the ultimate read is still, to be honest. But, I mean, I think it lends added credence for sure to the fact that he would very much like a contract far richer than the 4-1-14 he could have signed this summer. And there's interesting connections to Clutch Sports in that Andy Miller was his former agent when he first started out of Wichita State back at ASM Sports before, you know, whole FBI investigation came into play back during that college basketball recruiting scandal. And Miller is now running the coaches and front office division of Clutch. So it certainly seems like that connection played a factor here. But outside of that, I think we're still kind of, I mean, he hasn't signed with Clutch yet. There is a waiting period that players have to go through after terminating an agent representation. But yeah, by all accounts, he's definitely expected to sign there.
How much interest is in Fred league-wide? Do you expect him to have a Raptors jersey on by season end, or is it a foregone conclusion that that won't be the case?
There's no foregone conclusion with anything with the Raptors right now. I mean, they're still telling other teams that, depending how this West Coast trip goes, they could end up being buyers ahead of the deadline. So I'm not making any sweeping conclusions. I think, just looking at things logically, I mean, they're very far out of the top tier of the Eastern Conference. So to think that one big move, even when also there isn't, I mean, I've been on the phone all day yesterday, Wednesday, trying to get reacclimated to the trade market after taking a couple of days to step aside. And like the biggest names that are on the block in theory are John Collins outside of the Toronto situation and Bojan Bogdanović. I just don't see a player that is theoretically available for Toronto to go add that's going to move this ceiling higher. So I do expect they'll ultimately end up being more of a seller. But in terms of Fred, the Clippers get mentioned. There's been some talk about Phoenix and Orlando for sure. And Minnesota is definitely exploring what to do with D'Angelo Russell and their future point guard there. But I still think it's very likely that Fred sticks around. I think, I mean, you guys know better than I do, the Raptors have been very risk averse and very trigger shy in recent seasons. So to move on from a franchise focal point like Fred, I don't think will be an easy decision for them.
Well, we saw it 2 years ago when they were down in Tampa, where Kyle was leaving. Everyone knew he was leaving. They still didn't trade him at the deadline, and they ended up going with a sign and trade after the season. But I'm curious, based on what you just said there, Jake, you know, about what could be available out there. If the Raptors put up the for sale sign and it includes, you know, one of VanVleet or Anunoby, I don't picture them trading Siakam, not during the season. But if it were to include, and I guess you could throw Trent in there, Gary Trent, VanVleet, maybe Anunoby. If there's not much else available league-wide, like, shouldn't that put the Raptors in a very advantageous position to sell and sell very high at the deadline?
Yeah, I think that's why there's been so much attention and so much conversation around them. I mean, you look at the standings, there just is not a ton of teams out there that are clear sellers right now. I mean, even the Detroit Pistons in the absolute seller of the Eastern Conference, 13-37. They've got Bojan Bogdanović, they've got Alec Burks, who plenty of teams would be interested in. And, I mean, they don't need to sell those guys. They're already the worst team in the league. So there's clearly an idea in Detroit of, you know, we can still keep these guys and get Cade Cunningham healthy next season, plus another top lottery pick, and compete for the playoffs next season. I mean, the Charlotte Hornets are obvious sellers. Orlando's got, you know, Mo Bamba and Terrence Ross and Gary Harris and other pieces that they'd be willing to talk about. But then in the West, there's really only San Antonio, Houston, and Utah. That's on a best case scenario for buyers around the league. That's only six teams that are clearly, you know, selling here. That doesn't exactly create a lot of competition for, you know, buyers to find actual prices on guys. Like the prices on everyone are just so high right now. where every team is basically asking for a first-round pick for every player. So you're right. If Toronto does decide to pull the trigger, the fact that they have guys that are so just intriguing to other teams, it would serve the Raptors well in that marketplace in terms of getting value. But people are still skeptical they actually will make that switch.
Yeah, I mean, that's where our host here, and we all, I think the three of us agree, like when you said that there was a chance that they would be buyers, I thought his head was going to blow right off his body.
None of us want it.
No, but I mean, so you believe that there's still a chance that all of their starters are intact after the trade deadline for the Raptors?
I think there's a chance. I mean, everyone that I've spoken to on the league is pretty confident that Gary Trent will be moved. He seems like, now I'm not going to say a foregone conclusion because nothing's a foregone conclusion in this league, but he wants a big payday after this season where he can opt out of his contract and enter free agency. And the Raptors did the exact same thing with Norm Powell, remember, 2 years ago when they added Gary Trent in the first place. So if they don't have plans of re-signing him at the number that he wants, which it doesn't seem that that is the case, it does seem clear that there'd be plenty of interest in him, whether that be L.A., Atlanta. I've heard New York a little bit. There's definitely possibilities for him to get moved, and I don't think the price for him would be all that unrealistic compared to some of the other prices that are out there.
We're chatting with Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports. If the Raptors decide to get through the deadline by only making a deal or two, let's say that includes Gary Trent, but that means Van Vliet, Ananobi, Siakam, Barnes are still here, and yet they don't get out of the basement. They remain a team that's on the outside of the play-in looking in. How far or how crazy do you think Messiah Bobby Webster could get in the summer? In other words, like, would a Siakam trade ever be in the fold for them? Can you picture that being a scenario where they decide they need significant turnover and basically everyone outside of Scottie Barnes could be on the table for that?
Yeah, you guys were kind of hinting at that earlier, and I was going to say it then, so it's great you asked it now. I do think, and I've heard it repeatedly, that the offseason is far more likely to feature theatrics from the Raptors, but also across the league. Just being that everyone's so bunched up right now. And, I mean, as bad as things have been for Toronto this season, currently in 12th, they're still, I'm looking right now, they're still only five games out of the sixth seed with, you know, well over 30 games to play. So any team can look at that and think, this is a bunch of ground we can make up. And then you wake up on April 30th and you're completely out of the play-in tournament altogether and decide, all right, the offseason's here. There's far more flexibility. Teams can carry more roster spots. You can carry up to 20 players in the offseason that allows far more flexibility in taking back contracts and whatnot to make the salaries work. I mean, if Toronto does what they did basically with Kyle Lowry, like you said, and wait now but decide to move in the offseason, it's a far greater likelihood of all those guys being talked about and moved and et cetera. I think with Pascal, one thing that's super important is that I've been told pretty adamantly he wants to be there. He wants to be in Toronto and that he is open to being a piece next to Scottie Barnes and that there doesn't necessarily have to be this timeline decision between those two players. So I don't think that that's likely. I think it's possible just being that there is going to be such a wealth of interest in him. But he's always been a favorite of the front office. He enjoys living in Toronto as an international player. It seems like this historically international players have enjoyed being in Toronto more so than American players. And that's a thing that is certainly a talking point around the league. And I'd be surprised that they'd be so willing to part with him if he's so interested in sticking around.
With Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports, LeBron is chasing down the points record. He's chasing down Kareem. He's going to pass him, you know, likely in the next, you know, month or so. And the guy's putting up numbers that are off the charts. That game against the Clippers early in the week's a great example. He had 46 points. You know, he's putting up crazy numbers, and yet the Clippers are crushing the Lakers. Like it kind of feels like a Mike Trout type of scenario where Trout's going 5 for 5 with 3 home runs and the Angels lose, you know, 8-5. What's your read on LeBron, his headspace, and as a reporter in the league, but also as a fan of the sport, what do you make of what's going on with him, his legacy, and the fact that he's still playing so great, but the Lakers remain so bad?
I think, you know, the Rui Hachimura trade was one step towards competitiveness or greater competitiveness, and the Lakers don't seem to be done. I think they're going to clearly continue to canvass the league, and it seems like they're willing to offer one first-round pick that they have left in their stable to, you know, whether that's with Patrick Beverley's salary or other situations to try to move this ceiling a bit further here. And just like Toronto, I mean, their situation's even more direct. They're stuck at a 13, so even further down the standings in their conference compared to the Raptors, but they're only three games out of the four seed. And they're about to get Anthony Davis back. They have other tools in their toolkit to get a little bit better here, like we were just talking about. The Lakers still think that they're in a potential prime position to emerge as a bona fide playoff team here. And then once you get into the postseason, a team with a healthy LeBron James and Anthony Davis has not lost yet. That's kind of their logic. So as a fan of the league, like, yeah, I am rooting for them to be a bit better here, especially because they're going to soak up so much oxygen that it'd be more palatable to keep talking about them if they're a legitimate threat for the postseason. But it also does seem like they do have a fighting chance. All of those teams in the back half of this playoff picture that's, you know, had a disappointing start, from Golden State to Minnesota to Portland to L.A., they've got wiggle room here to make a couple of adjustments and try to emerge from this muck between, you know, the 7th and the 13th seed that has left the West seemingly pretty wide open after the top.
Yeah, it seems that way. Raptors and Golden State tonight. He is Jake Fisher of Yahoo Sports. Really appreciate you taking time for us. Thank you for doing this, Jake.
You got it. Thank you, guys.
So, yeah, we'll see. I mean, LeBron is still Superman. He's still putting up crazy performances, but it's almost as if he's like a sympathetic figure. It's like, yeah, it's like Trout and Ohtani, you know, like, great. Two of them did things you've never seen before, and the Angels lose all the time. It just doesn't have the same feeling, considering the Lakers are as bad as they are, and they continue to lose.
Dude, we talked about it before. It's a traveling road show. Come on out and get your last chance to look at LeBron.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like Kobe at the end of his career. Remember right. How bad the Lakers were? And remember Kobe's last game? He had like 52 points. It was wild. And it was just, let's see him go. You know, let's see Kobe shoot. Let's see Kobe do it one last time. And the wins and losses were not even relevant to the viewing experience. It was just about seeing Kobe, and now it's just about seeing LeBron. But LeBron at 38, he's still one of the four or five best players in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's crazy to see him perform the way he's performing.
Wasn't Kobe's like final tour, like, didn't he get like a Harley at every place? Like, every team like gave him love, and like,
oh yeah.
Wasn't it a spectacle every time? Like, it's his last visit into Chicago, or, you know, last visit in. Like, I feel like the other teams made such a big deal about it. Am I wrong?
I believe that was the case, if I can remember correctly. I think we knew it was the end. I don't know if he announced it before the season. Maybe it was during the season. But I think we may have known it was his last go. Same thing with Jeter. Same thing with
Jeter's
Rivera.
Jeter's was ridiculous.
Because the nature of baseball is ridiculous. A guy rolls through town, he'll play three games.
Yeah.
You know,
dude,
so opening
every
night.
Team, like, Jeter was unbelievable. One of my favorite players of all time. But, like, there was a gift from every team. And it
that,
was
maybe that's
like,
what it was. I wasn't sure if it was Kobe or Jeter. But, like, it felt like every time you were watching, like, this guy got a, you know, a Harley or a boat from the other team. Or
and they kind of deserve it. Like, I'm not
forever.
Disputing the fact that they deserve it, but watching it was like, I kind of have an appreciation for a guy that just says, check, please. Like, see you later. That's it for me. That, like, post-game presser, that was my last game. Goodbye.
Who did that? It was Pop's guy.
Tim Duncan, I think.
Tim Duncan just, like, he just faded off into the sunset.
Be like Tim Duncan, man. He just said, see you later, and he showed up on the bench for a little bit. He started coaching a bit, but it was just ninja dust. See you later.
He's gone.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Mike Johnson in about 20 minutes. Leafs Ottawa tonight. Johnny's take on Austin Matthews being out of the lineup and who he believes will step up. And we'll get into who's been more disappointing on Canadian soil this year. Is it Ottawa or Vancouver? That and more coming up with Johnny. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.